This passage follows on from the feeding of the 5,000. And Jesus walks on water. This is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, battered by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the end of the passage. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ruth. What can we learn then from this Bible passage in Matthew 14 about trusting Jesus for our next steps? Well, it's always good to see what's been happening around the passage that we've read. And here, the disciples have just witnessed Jesus feeding thousands of people using just a few loaves and a few fishes. What a wonderful moment that must have been. But as we've just been hearing, Jesus was not physically with the disciples in the boat during the middle of this passage. He's gone up a mountain to pray, and he sent the disciples on ahead of him across the lake. But during the night, this storm has blown up. There's terrible winds. The waves are buffeting against the boat. And I wonder, as I think about that setting, whether there's some similarities with where we find ourselves today. Maybe we can look back, as the disciples could, at miracles that have happened before and be thankful for what God has done in our lives. Maybe not as spectacular as seeing Jesus feeding the 5,000, or maybe so, I don't know. But maybe remembering things like when this building was full of people praising God and full of life and energy, and other moments in our lives we look back on and we're amazed as we think of what God had done. But maybe just now we feel a little bit like those disciples in that boat, that life is more like a storm. There's winds and there's waves all around us. Perhaps worries about health, about money, about a new local lockdown or the winter flu, and it just doesn't seem like Jesus is with us here in our boat right now. But in Matthew 14, Jesus does three things. I just want to look briefly at each of them, because firstly we see verse 25, Jesus appears shortly before dawn. Jesus went out to them. They weren't alone in the storm. Jesus walking on the water, and the boat is far from shore by now. The water is deep. This isn't Jesus playing a trick on them by walking on a sandbank. No, Jesus is walking on water. Now, people can't do that. It's impossible. And let's not miss the implication here. The only person who can walk on the water is God. It's something God does. Psalm 77, for example, speaks of God doing that. Let's not miss the weight of what that means about Jesus. But here's something else that struck me this week about Jesus appearing. The disciples are in the boat. They're rocked by the storm. Jesus appears and the disciples don't recognize him. Why? Well, it's still early morning, somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. It's still a bit dark. The wind is blowing, the waves are crashing. It's not a distraction. Maybe it's hard to see who this is. They cry out, "It's a ghost," and they're terrified. But it is worth remembering the disciples aren't strangers to storms, storms on this lake. They've been here before. Back in Matthew chapter 8, they're in a storm in a boat with Jesus. Jesus that time was sleeping. They woke him up and he calmed the storm. But they've been here before. But the difference is this time Jesus isn't in the boat with them. He's not in the safe, comfortable, known, enclosed space that they're in. Jesus was walking on the water in the middle of the storm. Jesus appears in the storm. And that seems important to me because Jesus appears and they don't recognize him. Was that partly because they had in their minds a set idea of how and where God works, and they didn't think God works in the middle of a storm? I wonder where we expect to encounter Jesus. Are there certain places, certain times, certain buildings maybe, where we expect to encounter Jesus, and in other places we don't recognize him? Might Jesus be appearing to us in the middle of whatever storm we are facing? Perhaps in an unexpected conversation, perhaps through an unlikely meeting or a surprising situation, Jesus appears. The disciples don't recognize him. But then Jesus speaks. Jesus appears and then he speaks. Over the roar of the waves and the whirl of the wind, they hear his voice. Verse 27, Jesus said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And then Peter, with this typical all-action style, shouts out, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." I think it's quite an odd request, isn't it? Why doesn't he say, "Lord, if it's you, come and get in the boat with us"? But Jesus responds. And Jesus calls. He says, "Come, come and join me. Join me on the water. Join me in the storm. Join me in the wind and the waves. Come." And we've got a book by an American author called John Ortberg. It's called "If You Want to Walk on the Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat." And the title of that book is, it's a good book, by the way, and encourage you to read it if you can get your hands on it. But the title of the book reminds us that in order to join Jesus, Peter had to get out of the boat, had to leave the place of safety and security and comfort. That wasn't where Jesus was. Jesus was on the water. Peter had to leave the known, the normal, the familiar. And in that book, John Ortberg says this: "Your boat for you is whatever represents safety and security to you apart from God himself. Your boat is whatever you're tempted to put your trust in, especially when life gets stormy. Your boat is whatever pulls you away from the adventure of discipleship." Now there's 12 disciples in this boat. Only one gets out. I guess staying in the boat felt a lot safer. But actually, when we stay in the boat, we can miss what we were made to be. It's not about doing, it's about being. And there's a really powerful poem that John Ortberg quotes in that book. I want to read it to you now. It's called "The Common Cold of the Soul" by Greg Lavoie. And I found this to be a really powerful reflection on the challenge to get out of our boat. "To sinful patterns of behavior that never get confronted and changed, abilities and gifts that never get cultivated and deployed, until weeks become months, and months turn into years, and one day you're looking back on a life of deep, intimate, gut-wrenchingly honest conversations you never had. Great, bold prayers you never prayed. Exhilarating risks you never took, sacrificial gifts you never offered, lives you never touched. And you're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams, and you realize there was a world of desperate need and a great God calling you to be part of something bigger than yourself. You see the person you could have become but did not. You never followed your calling. You never got out of the boat. There's a real sadness to the ending of that poem, isn't there? You see the person you could have become but did not. You never followed your calling. You never got out of your boat. And to me, that just felt really significant at this moment for us here at Harborne Baptist Church. I don't know what the boat looks like for you, for me, for us as a church. What is it that is holding us back from responding to the call that Jesus is calling us to? Maybe that's something we could explore in our home groups this coming week. But thinking about this story, thinking about getting out of the boat, when Jesus calls, will we follow? Will we listen? Will we respond? Can we trust Jesus for our next steps? I know that I want to be part of a church that is ready to get out of the boat, to get our feet wet, to follow the call of Jesus, to be part of something bigger, living in faith, responding with compassion to a world of desperate need. And that feels overwhelming to me, and perhaps it does to you too. It should do, because it's not in our power that we move and that we work or do anything. But the final thing that Jesus does is the thing that brings me an awful lot of encouragement this morning. Look at the last couple of verses of our passage. Verse 30. When Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And we see that Peter's faith took him so far. He left the boat. He followed the call. He got his feet wet. He walked on water. And then he looked around him. He saw the wind. He saw the waves. He felt the boat disappearing behind him. He looked down and he panicked. He doubted. He was in two minds. I don't want to be too harsh on Peter. After all, that prayer is brilliant, isn't it? Three words: "Lord, save me." Peter fails, yes, but instead of focusing on Peter, let's see what Jesus does. Jesus saves. Jesus appears, Jesus calls, Jesus saves. Immediately, Jesus reaches out his hand and rescues Peter. And look at the difference when Jesus gets back in that boat. The wind dies down, calm returns, and the others, those others who hadn't got out of the boat, they kneel down and worship. "Truly, you are the Son of God." We talked a couple times over the last few months here at church about keeping the main thing, how important that is to make sure that Jesus stays at the centre of all that we do, all that we are together. And our part in that is to trust. It's Jesus' part to save and to be at work. And that is a life-changing message. That is a hope-filled, life-light-bringing message that is at the heart of the good news of the gospel that we have to share with those around us. And so as we look forward beyond 2020, beyond our 2020 vision, let's keep Jesus at the centre. Whatever else we may decide to do together, we know who is at the centre. And we're going to talk over the coming weeks and months about how we can welcome people as Jesus did, how we can throw our doors wider open. It's going to mean our church doors, once we can do that, once we can do it safely. But also the doors of our homes. That might mean getting involved in the Macmillan Coffee Morning at the end of the month here at church that will be outside on the front. Or getting involved in local events where you live, in your neighbourhood, those around you. Inviting people maybe for a picnic in the park. Or seeing and responding to other needs around you. And hearing the call, the challenge of Jesus to get out of your boat when he calls. We're going to talk about how we can go deeper as well as wider, deeper in our worship, deeper in our following Jesus, deeper in the connections we make with one another and with those around us. Next week, our sermon series is going to begin. It's called Deeper, exploring the life-changing story of the Bible. We're going to think about some of those wonderful truths about God and God's people we discover in the pages of this book and go deeper with God together. And home groups are a key part of that. I encourage you, if you're not yet part of a group, to look into that and be in touch with me. I'd love to connect you. So there's two words there, wider and deeper. And I think they're going to be important words as we move forwards, as we look at what is next for us as a church. But if you went to an optician's and you asked them about 2020 vision, they would be looking to test how clearly and how far you can see. And if we're going to ask the 2020 vision, are we nearly there yet? The key question is, how clearly are we seeing Jesus? Are we fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith? And so our final song today is a prayer. Jesus, be the center. And I invite you to join in this prayer, not just for yourself, but for our church, that we would keep Jesus, place Jesus, worship Jesus at the center of all that we are, all that we do, and all that we are together.